Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
What a difference a day made.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. It's also the, well, it's the Jewish New Year tonight, sundown, Rosh Hashanah, since this is a Christian nation built upon the principles of Judaism. I have a special treat for my listeners, which is a Rosh Hashanah message, and I'll be doing that in a moment. The news is awesome. You know, the news is beyond awesome. This is the biggest corruption scandal in 50 years in America, and that is Acorn. And we're going to have Andrew Breitbart on in this hour. The president stabbed Poland and Czechoslovakia in the back along the lines of an Englishman by the name of, not Churchill. No, not Churchill. You'll have to check your history, boys and girls, who stabbed Czechoslovakia in the back, 1939. And the president has given up Poland and Czechoslovakia to the Russian bear. That's another major news story. We also have Senator Inhofe, pardon me. There's also a very special a piece we're going to play on the show today, which is something occurred on the beaches of Normandy. Soon after the landing, bodies were lined up like cordwood, men without legs and arms from the German shelling. And it was the first prayer in Germany by a Jewish soldier ever held on German soil since Hitler had arrived. And what's tragic about all of this is that history is repeating itself almost character by character. Let me tell you something. I got a bit of the sand of the ancients in me. Let us say I have one grain of the ancients in me. Okay, I'm not going to become a megalomaniac. Let's say I have a grain of the sand of the ancients still flowing in my blood. And I am telling you, from my perspective, we are seeing history repeating itself almost to the man. The characters are of a different name and of a different race, but they're identical in terms of social policy. Hitler has come back as Ahmadinejad of Iran. Same rhetoric, same kind of mania to destroy the Jews. In America, no, it's not Roosevelt. But in America, we have a strange parallel between Barack Obama and the English Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain. It's amazing to me what is going on. We also have a pacifist Congress, a corrupt, lackluster pacifist Congress with its head in the sand. And so, having said that, and having told you that I still have at least one grain of the ancients in me, I'd like to read you my Jewish New Year sermon on the Savage Nation. And it is going out not only to the Jewish listeners, but to the Christian listeners who understand the connection between these two religions. And here it is. It was written in 1996. Incidentally, if you want to follow along with me, it's in handwriting on michaelsavage.com. Owing to the miracles of the internet, I took the script, yellow, 8.5 by 11 yellow sheets, and you could actually see the thinking as I crossed lines out and put new ones in over the time I was writing it. And here it is. It's very simple. It's not profound. It's basic. Thousands of years ago, a little-known Middle Eastern man in a desert tried to lead his people from idolatry and hatred. Today, the descendants of these original tribes of Israel are known as Jews. What we ask is a Jew. Is it a religion, a race, a mindset? It is, to me, a constant relationship with God, the eternal creator, a constant dialogue within ourselves, asking, pleading, demanding, to know why the good will sometimes suffer horrendous fates, or why the evil appear to enjoy the riches of their plunder. It is this ability to ask without hearing an answer, but to keep asking eternal questions without losing faith in goodness. It is this desire to want to hear the very voice of God without hearing it. It is coming to know that the questions themselves are God's way, which makes the Jewish spirit an eternal manifestation of that transcendental experience in the desert thousands of years ago, which gives each Jewish person a special destiny and a special burden. Emphasis on the word burden. You see, to waste the spark of the fire of original knowledge is to throw away not only your own destiny and inheritance, but a portion of the destiny and inheritance of the people chosen by God to be his bearers of the light. Being human and not God, we all sin. How do we sin? By missing the mark. And that is my message to my listeners gathered in this tent today on the Savage Nation. In Hebrew, the word sin does not exist. It translates closely to meaning to miss the mark. To miss the mark. You see, God is forgiving. Or not one of us listening on this, on the radios today would survive even a day. The message to all of us is to try to hit the mark again and again. That is the zen of maintaining the Jewish inheritance. Seek truth, seek justice. Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, marks the beginning of 10 days of awe, a period during which the Jewish people are judged by God, who decides whether they, each of them, will be inscribed in the book of life for the coming year. It is an intense time for Jewish people, a time of trial and forgiveness. It concludes with Yom Kippur, a day of repentance. And so, as we leave the savage tent in the wilderness of the America today, in the wilderness of America today, I want each and every listener to the Savage Nation to remember this. Be happy. God made you. God loves you. Shalom. That's my sermon on the microphone. Now, of course, we should have some spiritual music to go with it, but I don't have any in particular, and I don't want to overplay that particular poem, but I thought I would share it with you. I'd like to play for you something else right now that I think would neatly fit. In Germany, on October 1944, the first service of its kind since Hitler had taken over, there was a singer by the name of Max Fuchs, a Jewish man who had fought with the American troops through Normandy and kept it to himself all for 50 years. And then after a fight for control of the city of Aachen, Germany, a correspondent for NBC Radio introduced the modest Sabbath service like this. He said, "We bring you now a special broadcast of historic significance, the first Jewish religious service broadcast from Germany since the advent of Hitler." Max Fuchs didn't talk about it for 50 years. He's 87 years old, and he lives on the Upper West Side. He was 22 years old that day. And he said, "I was just as much scared as anyone else," he said in an interview in his Manhattan apartment recently. "But since I was the only one who could do it, I tried my best." And his performance on that 1944 broadcast, heard throughout the United States and later in Germany, brought a poignancy to the 10-minute open-air service because of his stately voice. Because a few seconds before he began the singing, and for the only 3 minutes it took to finish it, the crack of artillery shells exploding nearby could be heard clearly in the background. They asked him why he never talked about this to his relatives. He says, "Well, there wasn't much talking going on. We were all in war." And he looked over at the assembled soldiers in that open field, and he thought there was not a single one of them at that service who had not lost family to the Nazis, and boy, did they want to get even. Boy, did they want to get even. And then he said that the suffering amongst the American troops was so bad that he didn't want to talk about it as well. He said friends he had known who had lost arms and legs were laying there on the beaches of Normandy, something that most of us don't want to know about. As they landed, they were chopped to pieces by German artillery and German machine gun fire. Anyway, this man fought his way all the way through Germany, and he's still alive today. Hopefully he listens to the Savage Nation in New York City on WOR. I wouldn't know if he did. But in a few minutes when I return, actually, you know what, guys? Just begin that that piece from NBC when it was still a network before it became something vile. Play it now.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the American Jewish Committee, brings you now a special broadcast of historic significance, with the first Jewish religious service broadcast from Germany since the advent of Hitler.
Well, I didn't hear the artillery shells in this one, gentlemen, but eventually when we come back, we'll play the audio of the religious service right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Friday on the Savage Nation. Now we got to go on to the regular news of the day. Some of it's very good. The biggest corruption scandal in 50 years was broken over the last week by Andrew Breitbart. Acorn is destroyed, as they should be. They are a horrendous group of people, in my opinion, most of whom are criminals who should be jailed. They've been defunded. That should be step one. Pelosi didn't even know they were defunded. You hear this? And she's the Speaker of the House, number three in command. You talk about Pelosi. My God. Now, do you remember yesterday she threatened violence in a subtle way? Do you have that soundbite? Play it. With Pelosi,
I have concerns about some of the language that is being used, because I saw this myself in the late 70s in San Francisco, this kind of rhetoric was very frightening. And
all right, let's stop the crocodile tears, because this hysterical statement by Nancy Pelosi that she saw this in San Francisco, she's saying everyone in the tea parties and protest groups, everyone is a potential murderer. Now, first of all, by doing this, Pelosi has made herself irrelevant now politically. She's irrelevant in the debate. You know why? Because the Tea Party protesters are very peaceful. Especially when you compare them to Pelosi and Obama's pals on the far left. The Tea Party protesters, generally middle-aged and middle class, they're not the type of people who started tire fires. Tea Party protesters didn't throw garbage cans through plate glass windows or attack police. Who did that? Well, those were the tactics of Pelosi's leftist buddies. They showed up at G20 summits to cause mayhem. Those are the tactics of the ELF who commit arson to make their political statements. Those are the tactics of the SEIU, Service Employees International Union, who sent their union thugs to assault law-abiding people who were simply exercising their rights under our First Amendment. Those violent tactics are the tactics of Acorn, who suborned perjury and conspired to defraud the American people by giving illegal advice on tax evasion. And don't forget for a minute, Pelosi's people are the jackbooted New Black Panther thugs who stood in front of a Philadelphia polling place in November of 08 and threatened white voters with batons. But Obama's attorney general has refused to bring a case against the Black Panthers. So Pelosi's hysterical statements about violence did nothing for our nation's future. They did nothing to save the nation's failing economy. They did nothing to stop our nation's steadily declining international influence. This clueless woman will go down in history as one of the worst speakers of the House and the worst we've ever had to endure. That's my opinion. Now let's go on to the Savage Nation callers. Houston, Texas. Jacob, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I listened to the Glenn Beck program, and one of the callers mentioned how your book, Band of Britain, was racist. And he, Glenn Beck didn't even mention your name. He acknowledged the question, but he didn't go on about you or your book or what, you know, Britain was doing to you. It's just completely ridiculous. I do not understand why.
How could Band in Britain be a racist book? How is that possible?
I have no idea, you know.
If the person didn't read it, how could it be a racist book? Was it Jimmy Carter calling? Who was it?
I believe he identified.
Look, Jacob, I'm ashamed of Glenn Beck. frankly. He's got great popularity right now. I wish him luck, but I'm ashamed of him. Everybody in the media knows that he is a guy who steals ideas from everybody, takes credit for everything everybody else does. I don't have to tell you what people say about him. I wish him luck, but the fact of the matter is he's an embarrassment in the sense that he steals ideas and doesn't give people credit. But I want to thank somebody listening to this show, and it may be you and everyone else listening. We sold 1,000 copies of Banned in Britain on Thursday. Do you know that? That's almost amazing. All on my website, michaelsavage.com, Jacob. 1,000 copies of Banned in Britain had sold in a 24-hour period. And I want to thank each and every one of you who bought the book. Every book means something to me. Now let's go on to the callers. Houston, Texas. Alex, go ahead, please.
Michael, it's an honor to speak to you. Michael, commenting on the piece you put about, I think his name is Max from Germany, when you pushed that piece, it brought me back. You know, I'm a Christian, Mike, and I have, you know, since it's a very important Jewish holiday this week, I have very great appreciation for the Jewish faith, Mike. And, you know, I'm a Christian, and
well, real Christians are. I know that. The liberal Christians aren't.
Yeah. You know, it really saddens me. You know, I don't hate Jimmy Carter. You know, everyone has the right. That's where we live in America. I think everyone has the right.
That's right. He can be a demented bigot. He's entitled to be so, as long as he doesn't commit violence.
And, you know, but it offends me when he could call himself a Christian, but then again, I don't know if you ever recall that statement he made.
How does Jimmy Carter attack the Jews and Israel and support Iran and Ahmadinejad? How does he do that and get up in the morning and have any credibility whatsoever?
Well, you know,
speaking about the Hitler of Iran, why is he allowed to come to New York? Can anyone listening to this show tell me they want him in New York? Can anyone listening to this show not say it is an outrage and an insult to let that Hitler into our country? Where is our military? Where is our CIA? Where is our FBI? Don't give me this crap about being an open country. We're so open, we're going to die. We're so open, we're dead. What do you mean we're an open country? Who listens to that crap? Open country, my behind. That piece of garbage doesn't belong in America. Let him stay in his hellhole.
Savage.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and find. Devil or angel.
Here is the weekly quiz on the Savage Nation. I'm going to describe certain actions, and then I'm going to ask you who has been responsible for them. The Tea Party protesters, the town hall meeting protesters, or the SEIU, the ELF, and the other left-wingers who put Pelosi and company in power. The acts would be tire fires, garbage cans thrown through plate glass windows, police and police horses attacked with rocks. Who actually did that, Nancy? Why, it was the people who support you, not the people that you say are going to cause violence. And we are now stuck with Nancy Pelosi, who is three heartbeats away from the presidency. Unbelievable to me. Scott in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
I took the train down to D.C., Dr. Savage, on
yes,
Friday,
sir.
And I ran into a major personality from MSNBC. We got off the train together, my wife and I, and he were the last ones off. And I approached him. I said, how do you do? And he said, how do you do? And I said, I'm curious as to why you do not cover the banning and the banishment of Michael Savage from Britain on your program. And completely flatline, as if the man had no pulse, he says to me, gosh, I thought that had been lifted. And I said, no, it hasn't been lifted. And you should recognize the challenge to everybody's freedom that's taking place here, because you're ignoring this and you are a member of the media. And he just said to me, well, gosh, I'll look into it.
Well, you know what? That's a surprising answer. I'm actually thrilled to think that he's open-minded enough to look into it. Yes, the media put out a false press release saying that the ban had been lifted. And that was enough for most people. No, in fact, the government is sticking by its ban. What's interesting to me is that a murderer like Kim Jong-il is not banned from Britain. A murderer like Ahmadinejad, who stole the election and is killing and torturing the people who protested against him in death chambers all over Iran, is invited to New York. a man like Al Sharpton on a lower scale is not banned from Britain. Shall I go down the list? This is insanity.
It's unconscionable. And the man pretended as if he didn't know what the hell was going on. And trust
you don't mean Puffball, do you?
Well, I'm not sure who that reference is, Doctor.
Softball?
Oh, you mean the large guy with the large face?
No, not the man who urinates on himself, allegedly, under the desk with the big glasses. Not him.
Never have gone up and shaken that man's hand.
You wouldn't want to shake his hand. That would be quite a risky endeavor. No, I'm talking about softball.
Yeah, the big guy in the morning, exactly.
Joe Scarborough?
Yeah, Scarborough.
Oh, he's a nice guy. Joe's a nice guy. He's the best of the bunch. That's why he's open-minded, because he's a decent man. But I would never expect this from the man who urinates on himself. Well, Scott, you know, I want to thank you for intervening with a media figure on my behalf. Beginning in the next week or so, we're going to do a letter-writing campaign to all members of Congress and the Senate. That begins with "a terrible injustice has been done." We're going to run a petition on my website asking people to sign it, and we're going to try to get hundreds of thousands of people to demand that our Congress act to get the British government to end this horror that I am trapped in. And I'm going to send you a free copy of Banned in Britain. I want to thank you for intervening. Thank you very much. I'm going to try not to talk about the book at all. And by the way, in a few minutes, we're going to have Andrew Breitbart on, the man who actually was behind the people releasing the story that is about Acorn, not the hemorrhoid. It was not the hem who did this. The hem tried to steal his thunder. He's not going to say that. He's a different kind of guy than me. He's a nice guy, and I'm not. I don't pretend to be a nice guy. I'm a realist. This is a competitive business, yes, but there is no room for intellectual theft in any business. So we have the man who really should get all the credit for the uncovering of the Acorn people, the defunding of the Acorn people, Andrew Breitbart, proudly on the Savage Nation. And in the next hour, we have Senator Inhofe on about Barack Obama's stabbing Poland and Czechoslovakia in the back. Now, you may say that I'm in conflict with what I said yesterday. It's interesting because I remember what I said yesterday, unlike many people. There is a yesterday, and there's a today, and there's a tomorrow. I do try my best to live by my word. And I try to be as consistent as I can, recognizing at the same time that consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. Still in all, one must be rather consistent in order to survive in any endeavor, particularly in the media. Yesterday, when I spoke with you about Obama permitting Russia to win the game and Obama agreeing not to protect Czechoslovakia and Poland with a missile defense shield, I said on the surface it looks as though he abandoned them. I said, but there may have been something beneath the surface which would make Obama a winner, which is that maybe he got Russia to agree to greenlight Israel's attack on Iran. But then I thought about it last night, and I realized that either way, Russia wins. In either case, Russia won the chess game. Because even if Obama agreed to stab Czechoslovakia and Poland in the back in order to get Russia to permit Israel to bomb Iran, and that's a big if, it means Russia is still in control of the whole situation. And in either case, Russia won on both accounts. Why? Because they made the United States give in on the missile shields, number one. Number two, they don't want a nuclear-armed Iran, and they don't want the Muslims to think that they don't. They're very smart, so they'll use Israel to do their dirty work. So either way, Russia wins. And remember, the man running Russia is playing seven-handed chess while our schmucks are playing checkers. Trust me on that one. He's been around a long time. He's the former head of the KGB. He can play spatial chess while these putzes are playing backgammon. And he won. So we lost. We are embarrassed internationally. And that's because Obama went to a church, went to a university, got his degree from Yale, where every international question comes up with one answer. The reason there is a problem is because America is bad. The reason there is a problem is because America is no good. The reason we're having this difficulty is because America is too macho. The only solution is for America to become something on the order of Scotland or Portugal, a weak, non-entity nation, and then the world will be a happy world. That's who's running the country today. That's who you elected, you schmucks, you. And I'll tell you who I blame. I don't blame the left. I know who they are. I've known who they are all my life. I don't even blame the Democrats because they wanted the VIG, to flow down to them. I blame all the Republicans who said, well, I don't like McCain because he's Bush too, and I agreed with you. But if you remember, I at the end had to back McCain because I realized in the last week that if I had not, we'd have Obama. You remember that? You should have come to the same conclusion. And I can guarantee you as I stand here today, I can guarantee it that there's more voter remorse now in America than there's ever than there ever has been 9 months after an election in the history of this nation. And I can guarantee you this, if that election were held again, Obama wouldn't come in within 20 points, even of the old warhorse McCain. That's unless McCain came out in a pinafore, okay, and a blonde wig in order to throw the election. And that I wouldn't put that past him either, given that he did everything he could to destroy his own campaign. Look who ran his campaign for him. If you look at the people who ran his campaign and what they're doing now, they're all Democrats. They're all working for Democrats today. You take a look at them. I told you that's how you judge. JJ in Bakersfield, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. You mentioned about this Russia deal yesterday, and I think it goes even a little further. I've been reading this magazine called The Trumpet, and Germany has been making secret deals for gas and oil with the Russians for a while now. And that could be part of the reason why there's not going to be a missile defense there, because Germany is also in control of the Lisbon Treaty, which is unifying the EU. And in World War II, I believe Russia and Germany were allies until Hitler turned on them. And I think Aminajad, the guy from Iran, should be arrested when he stepped foot here, because he was part of that hostage crisis that we had when Jimmy Carter.
That's absolutely right. If we still had a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, that would have happened when he came here last time while Great Bush was in power. When the Great White One was in power, George Bush, when the Great White Shark was in power, did he do anything to Ahmadinejad when he arrived in New York? Did the Great White Shark act?
Nope.
No, he didn't. So you got to understand Bush, Obama, it doesn't matter who's in power, they are fundamentally figureheads. We are sort of like England. And the presidency is somewhat like the Queen of England. A lot of show and no tell. Thank you for the call, 1-800-449-8255. Abe in New York, WOR, quickly go ahead. Thank you for being on the show.
Dr. Savage?
Yes.
I've been trying to get you a long, long, long time. I appreciate it. I used to be up the left. Now I'm on the right now.
Abe, let me tell you something. While you were on the left, it made sense because it was a different nation. And I have said before that the conservatives of today are actually the liberals of the 1960s. And the people who declare themselves to be progressives are the fascists of today. They are not good guys. They hate this country. They stand against everything this country believes in. They hate freedom. They want totalitarianism. They want absolute authority coming out of Washington. What does that make these good liberals?
I'd like to make another comment, too. Okay? Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I still agree with the philosophy of Schopenhauer. I believe that Schopenhauer was right about everything. Even Schopenhauer mentioned socialism. He said, the villain is life itself. The villain is life itself. Our enemy is life itself. I mean, I read him. I read him back
home. All right. I hear you. So Schopenhauer is your a philosophical guide, Abe.
Absolutely. He says.
And Abe, are you of the Jewish faith?
He called this the worst possible.
Abe, slow down. Are you of the Jewish faith, Abe?
Yes, I am.
Well, it's about 6:45 in New York right now. Are you going to be with your brethren in a temple tonight?
Well, I'll try.
Come on, get out and dust off your prayer shawl, Abe.
What about sickness, death, and old age? What about sickness, death, and old age?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling well. You know what? Let me say this, Abe. My grandfather, who I never met because he died at 47 after emigrating here and working himself to the bone and got a heart attack in doing so, left a message for me that I never met. I didn't get it in person. It was a message in the wall. And he said that a man does not need to go into a church or a synagogue or a temple to meet God. He can put his back to a tree and meet God. So, Abe, on that word, I'll take a break right now in the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you. Yes, I do. And I'm saving all all my love in jail for you.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. There's a lot of bad news, and there's a lot of good news. And some of the good news is that the biggest corruption in the last 50 years in America, the Acorn scandal, was broken by Andrew Breitbart. And fundamentally, they've been defunded, even though Nancy Pelosi never heard of them. They've been defunded. Joining us now is the man behind it all, Andrew Breitbart from BigGovernment.com. Andrew, proud to have you on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Michael Savage.
Now, you don't want to take credit for this, but honestly, I know the two young people are the ones who went into the Acorn office, James O'Keefe, right? But isn't it your group, BigGovernment.com, that broke the story?
Yeah, Hannah Giles and James O'Keefe were far braver than I ever would be. I would never at 40 years old with the children that I have and the safe life that I have go into the offices that they went into and endeavored, and their creativity and their conviction, and now that I know them, their purity of heart and their love for this country is represented in this video extravaganza that is not over yet.
Not over yet. So there's more to come on Acorn's misgivings?
Absolutely. We're juking them. We're playing them every step of the way. Wade Rathke was an Alinskyite, and we're using the tactics of Alinsky against the left here.
Now, what do you mean by that? What do you mean the tactics of Alinsky?
The Rules for Radicals, both Hannah, 20, and James, 25, are voracious readers on Saul Alinsky, have read far more than just Rules for Radicals, and realized, like many Americans have now that he's the president, that Barack Obama and the far left, including Hillary Clinton, who did a 93-page report for her thesis at Wellesley, are all students of Saul Alinsky, the radical, original community organizer, a person who his tactics have been to isolate your political enemy and attack them and keep them on their heels. And these conservatives in this country have not figured it out until 2009. It's a crime that we haven't figured out until now that this is what they've been doing to us.
Andrew, I don't mean to drag you into this, but I would say I've been isolated, wouldn't you?
No, I'm saying that those that have certainly know it, but it's amazing that the establishment conservative movement has allowed for them to do that and not fought back. They're playing by traditional beltway rules. They're all dressed in their blue blazers with their red ties with their American flags and letting for people go out there and have to take risks like Hannah and James do, or like you do, or other people in the same line of work who end up being isolated and called every name in the book. They have lies thrown at them. It is trailblazers like Hannah and James who will...
Well, aren't they now facing a lawsuit from the state of Maryland for having violated the so-called rules of wiretapping or video? Aren't they getting attacked now by the state of Maryland?
Isn't it lovely that all these threats have come out since the beginning and none of them have been actualized? Do you think, I'll tell you something about the Maryland accusation that they were going to go after Hannah and James and me, is that the person who the attorney, the city attorney, I believe, of Baltimore, who did that ran on the premise, on the platform of child abuse and trying to stop child abuse. So this woman is trying to thwart this growing investigation into how Acorn works and how it would not just aid and abet an underage El Salvadoran prostitution ring, but underneath that salacious ridiculousness, they were very competent individuals at aiding and abetting criminal activity as a means to allow for the lower class to rig the system for their benefit. And that is the underlying story of that nobody is talking about. The left.
But Andrew, you brought. Wait a minute. Let me go back. This is the biggest corruption scandal in 50 years, in half a century in this country. I don't know of a bigger one. You'd have to go back to the Teapot Dome scandal to come to something like this. In many ways, this is worse because it rigged votes. How come you were able? How did it happen that Congress acted to defund them so rapidly?
Well, the strategy was telegraphed in my column a week ago, Monday, 4 days before the first video occurred. I needed to lay down that this is what was happening, that this was the path that we had endeavored to take. Because when James and Hannah came to me and showed me these videos, I realized that the mainstream media, if you were to hand them this, would bury it. And if you were
absolutely,
and if they were to put it on YouTube, YouTube would have immediately taken it down, and the lawyers would have overwhelmed these penniless, you know, artists slash journalists. And so when they found me, and I'm not that religious person, Michael, I must say I felt that there was divine intervention, because my greatest strength is understanding the mainstream media and how it works. And we devised a strategy to force them, and quite frankly, to shame them into covering this story.
Well, you've done a great job. Now, for the people who don't know what we're talking about the Acorn scandal, the undercover operation done by these two young brave people, as published by Andrew Breitbart on his great website, biggovernment.com. And what the ramifications have been that Congress acted in an unprecedented manner to defund them. Now, how did that happen, though, Andrew? I have to repeat it. Nancy Pelosi, during her crying jag, said she didn't even know about Acorn. Do you remember that one?
Well, that was the whole point, is that with the Van Jones scandal had just happened the week before, and the premise of my column was to say, mainstream media, you didn't pay attention to the Van Jones story until the AP News alert hit, and we found out that this guy mysteriously resigned from his position as an unaccountable czar controlling billions of dollars, going to billions of you know, non-existent green jobs. How is it that you are now reporting this with a straight face when you did none of the original reporting? It was obvious that we needed to put the media in check here, and to not feed them any information that could then go back to the Acorn people and political operatives who would then wage a campaign to destroy the messenger.
All right, hold on. We're almost out of time. Andrew Breitbart's going to be with us over the top of the next hour. He's the Pulitzer of our time. He is the real journalism. He's the journalist that journalists would like to be. He is Andrew Breitbart at biggovernment.com. He's the man that everyone looks to for leadership in the media today. Right here on the Savage Nation when I return.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, welcome to Rock and Roll Friday. If you just joined us in the first hour, I read you a Jewish New Year sermon right here on the Savage Nation. We also began our interview with the Pulitzer of our time, Andrew Breitbart, who really broke the Acorn case wide open. He rejoins us right now on the Savage Nation. Andrew Breitbart from BigGovernment.com. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. And by the way, Andrew, let me ask you something. These two young people, you say they're poor. They don't make any money with this. How do they get funded?
Well, according to Acorn, it was a $100 million operation by the Fox News Network. But in reality, as you will see at the end of this, we're going to put up the receipts, including Subway sandwich receipts. This cost about $1,300.
I had lunch at Subway today. What a bargain. I had a foot-long sandwich at a turkey myself. I had a power lunch by myself. But so they did this on their own. What are they living on?
Well, they are now comfortably working for biggovernment.com. I don't go to the J schools of the country. I don't go to Columbia or Missouri or Northwestern to find my reporters. These people were hired the second that I saw them.
No, Andrew, the reason I'm asking is, look, I've given some money away this year to the Widows and Orphans Association of the Highway Patrol Elephant Fund, the Gorilla Fund, and others, and I'm putting them up on the website. If you have a nonprofit that could fund them in some way, would you let me and my listeners know? I'll be glad to make a contribution.
We're working on so many different angles. Legal defense fund, you know, if they decide to sue. But you notice that they're throwing out a lot of accusations, official accusations, that the mainstream media is willing to trumpet, willing to threaten them with lawsuits and to come down hard on them. And every time the statement comes out from Acorn, the next day it's proved to be true when we issue a new video.
Okay, is Acorn finished? We read they're defunded, but they're not really going away, are they?
No, they're going to go away. They're going to go away because American people are going to see. We are going to be relentless in showing you what these people are about. We're going to report to you what their own manual says. People are coming out of the woodworks because they're fearful. The left's tactics of causing the whistleblowers to know that they're going to be attacked by ABC, CBS, and NBC and the CNNs of the world. We created a means by which we could isolate those networks and put them under scrutiny. They're the ones. The American people are seeing that it took till Tuesday night, 4 days into the scandal, that we saw Katie Couric weigh in. And ultimately, the nail in Acorn's coffin was when John Stewart, the ultimate liberal apologist, put his hand into his head, into his hands, and just could not make a joke that made Hannah and James look out to be the bad guy. Last night, Jay Leno did the same thing. They can continue to try and demonize these two people, but the American people, probably at about an 80% clip, look at them as American heroes. And if you knew these people, if you knew how decent they were and how fresh-faced they were.
I want to meet them. When I come down to L.A. next time, are you going to introduce me so I can take them to dinner?
Well, because I think that the youth of our country...
I'm going to take them to Subway. That's the most I'm going to do, is a 12-inch hero each.
On them. And I must tell you that this is what I love so much about these people walking through my door at my house and showing me these videos, is that when I heard the purity of their heart and that they've now made big names for themselves and everybody's seeing them, you do any analysis...
Andrew, bring my audience up to speed. Many of them heard about it, but they don't really know who Acorn is. Please walk us through this from the beginning. Who was Acorn? When did they start? Who funded them?
It's the preeminent community organizing group in the country. And at one point, Barack Obama was its lawyer. But this is what it's very important that we start to understand that community organizing is sort of the infrastructure of the left in this country. And it has a nice euphemism, but at the end of the day, it's like we learned last week, quite appropriately, that Van Jones was a community organizer, and his two primary things were taking advantage of the underclass, getting them to think that the white man was after them, and using Mumia Abu-Jamal conspiracy theories in order to manipulate black people to stay on the dole. And that's what these people do. And so you ask...
Hold on. He wasn't the only one who did it. What about Reverend Wright? He said that the government gave black people AIDS.
Jackson, think about these people who prey upon the inner city. We're starting to see in these videos how it's done. You start to analyze Acorn, and you realize that they're not only being fed by major, major left-wing foundations like the Tide Foundations. They're being funded by major unions. But you're also finding out that the shakedown operations that they do on groups like Bank of America and Citigroup, they go to them just like Jesse Jackson does.
You know, I was going to say that. Didn't Jackson and Sharpton do this for years?
That nobody in the mainstream media has been willing to connect the dots to show that this is how these people are kept subverted by the system. They're told that they're victims, and then they're taught how the system can be rigged to their benefit. And that's what's so extraordinary about
it. So in other words, it's a racket. It's a protection racket like Al Capone ran.
Al Capone criminal racket. They went down. I have a friend and an FBI informant who reported upon his former left-wing pals were going to bomb the Republican National Convention. When he reported that to the FBI. Those two guys went to federal prison. Wade Rathke, the guy who started this cockamamie group, was out there saying that he was a snitch and that these people should have died.
Who started this? Wayne who?
Wade Rathke, R-A-T-H-K-E, and the man does not have the guts to go out there and put his white face on the television set.
Whoa, I never heard of that guy. Where is he today?
He is out there, I believe, probably in Louisiana right now, but you notice that this guy and his brother, whose last name obviously is also Rathke, is over at the SEIU, which they, in a lot of the places, they actually have SEIU, the guys that went and intimidated people at the Russ Carnahan healthcare rally. Those were SEIU union people.
Hey, Andrew, did you see that one of the major domos in the SEIU was just put away for child pornography and child molestation?
Well, that doesn't surprise me, but I look.
But how come Katie Couric hasn't reported on it? What if a major right-wing Republican had been found guilty of child pornography and child molestation? You think it would have made the NBC Evening News?
No, well, we just proved this week. NBC, as far as I know, has not done a single report on this. It's the biggest story in the country. In 1 week, they've been defunded by the House, by the Senate. They lost their connection to the census, which was a huge
yeah, that,
deal.
That's going to have a big effect on America. Will that help the votes be counted more honestly? Do you think it's going to really help us have confidence again in the ballot box, Andrew?
The reason why I think this is important, no. The answer is no in the short term, but the answer is yes in the long term, because between the Tea Parties and the health care stuff, we really have had our mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. And the thing is, these are bullies. The SEIU gang are bullies. The Acorn people are bullies. They go to big companies, and they thug them into giving them money. And right now, when the bully is running around the playground poking people in the eyes, ultimately it takes one person like Hannah and James to knock them in the nose, and look at how quickly they crumbled. And I believe that the American people is going to start to derive confidence from the fact that the emperor has no clothes, the mainstream media can no longer protect them anymore, and we're going to continue going after them relentlessly.
Well, Andrew, let me say this before you leave the Savage Nation. First, I want to thank you for being the major mover behind releasing the story. You should get all the credit. I know you're not going to take it here on the show. Again, I want to thank you for that. The second thing is, if there's any way I can help in supporting these two people when the time is right, let me know. I'll be glad to do that. Third, I want to take them to dinner when I'm in L.A. And fourth, Andrew, you're dealing with some of the most dangerous people in America today. And I have to tell you, Andrew, I know you're a true believer. I know you're a genuinely good man. But you have a young family, Andrew. You have to get security, Andrew. You're dealing with some of the worst people in America right now.
Well, I don't want to address that. I'm taking that.
All right, I shouldn't have brought it up, but Andrew, they're no good. These people don't play by the rules. They're not like you and I. They're not like you and I. These are bad people. You're dealing with people who are capable of anything.
Look, I spent this summer in a program at the Claremont Institute learning about our founding fathers and our Constitution and what this country really means and the revolutionary mindset that they had and that they were willing to die for the cause of liberty. And if our generation can't get off of their butts to realize that we could lose liberty in our lifetime, the idea that we could lose America as we know it in our lifetime was preposterous. Not so,
Andrew.
Long.
I don't want to go down this road with you, but that's my deepest fear, especially in light of Obama doing what he's just done. That is stabbing Poland and Czechoslovakia in the back, aligning himself with Russia. And wait, Andrew, he and Hillary Clinton are now trying to reinstall a communist stooge in Honduras who was thrown out by the people and the Supreme Court of that nation. I have an increasing fear that I'm going to wake up one day to the communist takeover of the world. We're going to basically have a sweep of everyone on the right. We're going to all disappear like in Argentina during the bad days. And they're going to have a worldwide communist takeover of the world, Andrew. I know it's paranoid, isn't it?
I can only deal with the issue at hand, and I can promise you that, Acorn, that there are more videos to come, and that your lies that you are pushing out there and that the mainstream media continues to perpetuate and doesn't hold you accountable for being liars, I go, they're going to, it's going to continue to come, and I also promise a blockbuster next week that's going to come from left field.
That's about Acorn, of course.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, something new from Andrew Breitbart. Well, before you leave today, back a year ago in October of 08, Barney Frank and Rahm Emanuel were gloating about the passage of the bailout in the House, Andrew. And you got to listen to this soundbite when Barney Frank speaks about the days of oil. You're going to love it. Bay, we'll fire it for a second.
And I really feel a great sense of responsibility for Rahm and for me and for many others. These are the days of oil. The
right.
Days between
now,
Russia.
Andrew, you hear what Barney Frank said? These were the days of oil. You heard that? What he meant was the days of ore, O-R-E, not the days of awe.
I've had problems with his semantics for years. I have a trouble listening to the guy. You know what's fantastic about this story in a the most perverse way is that we now start to understand. I'm so sick of being called a racist. I'm not a racist. The majority of Americans aren't racist. We are now seeing that the Barney Franks of the world have been preying on these people for forever. People are starting to see that they rigged the system in order to figure out how can you get people who can't afford homes to get homes. Obviously, they were going to go into foreclosures. That's exactly what happens. And you see at this office how these people facilitated those loans. Don't worry. Don't report this. You can do this. You can do that. You can break the law. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, the people at Acorn at the highest levels at Wade Rafke and Saul Alinsky were radicals that figured out the best way to revolutionize the system was to go right through the front door and start the revolution by destroying the country from within. They've been exposed, Michael.
Andrew Breitbart, the Pulitzer of our time, thank you for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael.
It is 19 minutes and 47 seconds after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation. When I come back, we're going to take another quick segment, and then we're going to have a senator on the show. That's right. We're moving into the big time right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling. Tis twilight time.
It is the Savage Nation. I noticed that the First Lady is appearing on the circuit trying to peddle health insurance destruction. And don't forget that she now has 26 servants working for her. That's amazing to me how a community organizer could need 26 servants. And her outfit, her couture is interesting. She's wearing a cartridge belt, it appears to me, in the latest speech. I wonder if that follows up with Nancy Pelosi's threat of violence in some way. I don't know. What can I say? Christy in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, I loved your Rosh Hashanah speech, Dr. Savage. It was lovely. And I wanted to say that I'm a Christian, and as a true Christian, we are commanded by God to love and pray for the peace of Israel and keep up the good
work.
That
is so beautiful, and I know that. I know that, and only liberal Jews distrust the Christian.
That's correct.
Now, I got to tell you point blank. You want to have that discussion one day? We can have it now. I have met many different Jewish people many times in my life. The Orthodox Jewish people, the true God followers, love the Christian people and understand that they're their greatest ally on earth. The only people who distrust the Christian are the liberal Reform Jews who say, don't believe it. Are you kidding you? They just want to convert you.
That's not true. Is a Jewish person's best friend.
Well, anyway, Christy, thanks for the compliments. I appreciate it. New York City, WOR Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. I just have a quick comment and a question for you. First, the comment. I think, and people should know, what a terrific interviewer you are. And I say that because a few years ago you had Jerry Falwell on. And
that was amazing.
He's been interviewed 500 times by 500 different people, and they never get to what you got to in just a simple conversation with him.
Remember that? Yeah, that was about, that was an amazing interview. That was astonishing. What else? Believe it or not, I only have about a minute left.
You had one very poignant question. You asked him, am I going to heaven? And in a, calm conversation.
Right. No, he said no. He said only Christians go to heaven.
And you extracted from him more in that interview, and I never quite looked at him the same way. Secondly, very quickly, a comment on ignorance is bliss. You obviously have had more education than most. You've traveled the world extensively, much more than most. You have a mind that enables you to analyze things that possibly most people don't see. But do you think that all of that education, insight, traveling, and so forth has made you happier or more miserable?
What a great question for the Rosh Hashanah evening. I'll think about it and get back to you.
Savage.
Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye-bye.
Now, I have warned you to beware the government media complex as far back as the speech I gave in 97 at the Commonwealth Club, but since I'm a member of the media, it's very important that we also speak to the government. And we're talking about a monster topic, which is the dismay in Eastern Europe as the United States of America has basically abandoned missile defense for Poland and Czechoslovakia. It raises the specter of appeasement. It mimics that of Chamberlain in 1939, and Senator James Inhofe, Republican, Oklahoma, joins us now in the Savage Nation to fill in the details. Senator, thank you very much for being on the program.
Well, it's nice to be with you again, Michael.
Senator, is this what it appears to be, which is the abandonment of Poland and Czechoslovakia, or is there some trade-off with Russia that may have a silver lining?
Well, Michael, there are two problems here. First of all, our relationship with those friends. You keep in mind Poland and the Czech Republic. They have troops over there helping us in Iraq and Afghanistan. They've been our friends, and they've proven their friendship. We went over, and I was part of this, Michael, because I'm the second-ranking member of the Armed Services Committee. Mm-hmm. We went over and negotiated this thing with both Poland and with my favorite president over there, Václav Klaus, in the Czech Republic. And mm-hmm. we gave them our word that we would not abandon them if they would agree to be aggressive enough and take on the criticism from Russia to put a radar site in the Czech Republic and a interceptor capability in Poland. And they did it. And I can remember mm-hmm. just less than, it was before the last election, I was over there and they said, you're certain now that the United States is not going to pull the rug out from under us. And that's exactly what happened. So I think one of the problems is it's not just a loss of credibility in the Eastern Europe. It's all over the world. They're all watching. This didn't happen in a vacuum. So that's the biggest problem. The second problem, and I might differ with you a little bit here because they do have, some THAADs and SM-3s and Patriots there that would be helpful to stop something going into Western Europe. My concern is the United States. Because they are so close to getting a delivery system. Michael, the last time we talked was February, and that was right at the time that they fired their first three-stage rocket.
Oh, you're talking about Iran?
Yeah, we're talking about Iran, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The man is a Hitler. I don't understand how the people aren't up in arms over this man.
Well, I don't either, but they have the propulsion capability and the guidance capability, and that three-stage rocket went 2,500 miles. Well, keep in mind, Rome is only 2,300 miles from Iran, so, they have that capability now. I'm concerned about the United States because our intelligence is never right, and when Bush and the rest of us put in the ground-based interceptors, in Poland or had the plan to do that, that would knock down a long-range, mid-course rocket. A THAAD will not do that. An SM-3 will not do that. A Patriot will not do that. And for them to reach the United States from Iran, it's going to have to be a mid-course intercept, and we don't have that capability. That's the whole reason that we worked out this deal with Poland. So I'm really very much concerned. And let me just finish this. I don't want to get too technical here, but I know it's...
Well, wait. I think this is very important. So by eliminating support for the missile defense shield in Czechoslovakia and Poland, has that put our own troops in danger?
Well, it put the United States in danger, in my opinion, because the SM-3 they have, it would be 2018 by the time they had what we call an SM-3-2A. That would have the same capability of a ground-based interceptor. If we went forward with a ground-based interceptor, as we had planned in Poland, we would have it in place and working by 2013. That means for 5 years, by pulling this thing out, we are naked out there, Michael. From 2013 to 2018, we don't have anything that would stop a long-range missile in the mid-course coming from Iran toward the United States.
Oh, you're saying that we could have knocked down one of their long-range missiles on the way to America with such a system?
That's correct.
That is almost unknown here amongst the voter. They didn't even hear any of that, Senator. It's amazing to me that that issue of America's security didn't come up in all of this. So why would Obama weaken us like this?
Well, see, that's what I don't understand. And you remember the last time you and I talked, I was in Afghanistan, and that was when Secretary Gates gave the Obama defense budget. And I said, you know, he's terminating the F-22, the C-17, the Future Combat System, which is the only transition we've had on ground capability in 60 years. And at that time, we said, well, at least he hasn't eliminated our missile defense system that would stop something coming from.
Right.
Well, sure
right.
enough, he did. That was February. You and I talked.
Well, what the heck is going on here? Whose side is he on?
I shake my head and I wonder. I'm so concerned. Well, some of these things, of course, we're winning. The global warming thing or the cap and trade. There's no way in the world they have the votes for that in the Senate. So I say this, the August recess really paid off. The problem was no one anticipated that he would stop our missile defense capability in Poland and in the Czech Republic.
But,
no one,
Senator, aren't the Democrats equally alarmed as are you with the long-term implications for the nation's national defense? Whether they're liberal or Republican, they live here. For God's sakes, they have family here. Aren't they concerned that this man may have made us vulnerable to an attack either by Iran or other enemies?
There are particularly some of the newly elected Democrats that were elected in this last election. I don't want to name their names. They're really pretty good people, but that's been a wake-up call. And for some of the old-timers to see what is happening, there's an old adage in politics that when the ship sinks, the rats jump off. Well, a lot of them are jumping off right now, Michael. And that's the reason that they don't have the votes like cap and trade. But this is all brand new. I don't think anyone anticipated that they were going to stop the thing that we had committed.
Wait a minute. The president has the autonomy to do a thing like this on his own? What did he use? What maneuver did he use? An executive order?
We could stop this thing because this is not a treaty that has to be ratified or something like this. This is what the president has ordered to be done. Now, we can stop it the same way we're stopping him from closing down Gitmo. You and I talked about that before.
Yes.
The president tried to do it, but we finally, through using pressure from the American people, who said this obsession that the president has to bring these terrorists into the United States, either to try them here or put them in prisons here, is something that's insane. We're not going to allow this to happen. And so he's not going to be able to do it. But he said he was going to do it. Remember that? He said he was committed to closing.
Yes. So, but but the Congress stopped him. But, Senator, help me with the rules here. He has the power to say with a stroke of a pen, no missile defense for Poland and Czechoslovakia, and Congress has no authority in this issue.
We do. We could reverse that. We'd have to do it through the defense authorization bill and withholding funds from appropriations. We can do it to stop it, and that's what our mission is going to be when we get back.
My God, it's increasingly frightening to wake up every day and not know what this administration is about to do next.
I made the comment.
And this issue is fundamental to the future safety, not only of Eastern Europe, obviously, but you're saying something new that I just learned, and I thought I was kind of knowledgeable about it. I mean, from what I've been reading, I had no idea that these missile defense installations would have protected America from long-range missiles years from now that might be fired by Iran or other nations.
Michael, this morning on Fox, I was able to use a visual, and the visual shows the three phases of a missile, that you have your boost phase, your mid-course phase, and your terminal phase. It's the mid-course phase that is the highest, when you can knock down something that is long range. What he is talking about doing when he says, no, this is cheaper, we can do it with an SM-3, with a THAAD missile, and with the Patriot, that's short in range and medium range. Sure, that might be able to stop it from hitting Western Europe. But to stop something from that would be aimed at the United States, it has to be in mid-course. And that's the
Senator Inhofe, if there's anything this program can do and everyone else in the honest media to motivate Congress to protect us, for God's sakes, we have to stop this madness. We can't wake up to continuous pacifism and expect this nation to survive much longer. Senator Inhofe, I want to thank you for being on the Savage Nation. Would you please be kind enough to accept a free copy of my forthcoming book, Banned in Britain, when it's out? Because I'd love to give you one.
You're great, Michael. I will do that.
Well, I thank you, Senator. God bless you, and thank you very much for being with us on the Savage Nation. Well, there it is. You just heard something that we didn't know, which is that Obama acted unilaterally to strip away protections not only for Czechoslovakia and Poland, but in so doing, he has made you less safe as well. I didn't know that. Did you know that? I certainly didn't know that Obama had the power and authority to do it on his own. I thought we lived in a democracy where things were discussed. I thought we lived in a democracy which still had a Congress that evaluated decisions before they were made. Little did I know we were living in an Obama Republic, a government of the man, by the man, and for this man. It's astounding to me. We have a big job ahead of us, don't we, on the Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers on the program right now. Hartford, Connecticut. Andy, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. You've been asking a question of late, why the media and the rest of the establishment does not acknowledge you. And I think it has to do within your prophetic message of government media complex. And it has to do with two elements, credibility and control. If they acknowledge you, they give you credibility. If they give you credibility, they're going to lose control. It's much easier to have and control two parties and two polar spectrum than it is to control a large mass of people with diverse opinions. And your program,
I agree 100%. It's an interesting discussion, and we should have it right now, Andy. I was thinking about it. When I grew up, there were three networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and nothing else. That was it. Take a look at what we have now in television, all the choices, the hundreds of channels, never mind just the news cable channels. Look at the internet. Look at the radio shows we have. So people have many avenues to receive their opinion and express themselves. You look around America, people have a lot more freedom today than we had 50 years ago in so many other areas, except in one area. The only area that I know of that is not democratized, there's only one, and that's the two-party system. The monopoly has been the same for hundreds of years, where two parties and two parties only control the entire dialogue and actually hold all of the strings to the future of America. That's the only area where there's been no loosening up of the rules, where there's been no evolution, where a third party or more parties could evolve and people can have real choice. Think about that one, my friend.
I have. And that's exactly the issue. That's how 535 people can control 350 million. They keep us polarized, let us go and get into visceral arguments, have one against the other, pit one against the other, instead of debating the ideas in Congress where it belongs.
Yes, and that's why the individual with a free spirit and a free mind is a great threat to the government media complex, to go back to your original point. Is that correct, Andy?
Correct. That's why they'll never acknowledge you, sir. That's why they will never give you credibility.
Well, I don't. You know, at this point, Andy, it's que sera, sera. Whatever God wills will be. You know what I mean? That's how I'm taking it all. You know, there's nothing more I can do. I can only push so hard. Que sera, sera, Andy. Let me send you a free copy of Banned in Britain when it comes out. We're going to press in about a week, 10 days. They'll be shipped about October 17th, 18th, something like that. And so, que sera, sera, what else can I do about it? Nothing. Nothing. Daniel in Victorville is glad that the missile shield has been stripped away by Obama. Daniel, tell us why you think it's in our national interest for this.
Well, Doc Savage, the reason this is in our national interest is because the Russians already announced their intention to counter this system by placing short-range Iskander nuclear weapons in the Kaliningrad exclave. So we would be gaining this sort of a defense against the mid-course of missiles, as the senator mentioned. But see, in terms of our larger strategy, we have capability for the THAAD SM-3 short-range of the boost phase interception in the Persian Gulf already. And so, and we also have our research going on and some prototype stuff for the terminal phase interception. So if we were going to spend a lot of money and we were going to build a lot of systems, we could build terminal phase interceptors inside the United States without increasing tension with Russia in Eastern Europe.
Well, that's an interesting theory, and let me accept what you were saying on face value and from the point of view of honesty. Then why would Senator Inhofe be proposing that we continue to pressure the president to reverse course?
Because there is an actual gain to be made in the mid-course interception, because that's going to allow us three layers of defense in missile stuff. So the reason that's important is because all the types of systems that we're working on have only a 20 to 25% chance to hit something in the best case scenarios.
In so, in other words, you try in Europe, in Czechoslovakia, you miss, you try it the next interval, then the next, and the next. But if you eliminate one, you increase you decrease the chance of success in stopping an incoming missile.
Yeah, so you're trying to get as close.
So, look, I don't mean to argue with you, Daniel, but you started by saying that Obama's on the right course. Now you're saying maybe he isn't.
Well, there's very serious consequences to this because by moving.
Well, it sounds like you're a man who understands much more about it than you may be alleging. It sounds to me as you're an insider who knows more about missiles than I would think on the surface. But here's my point, Daniel. Just by having this little conversation with you over the last 3 minutes, we've opened up a whole series of questions that are worthy of discussion, and we've had no discussion, and yet somebody inside Obama's brain said, go ahead and do it. How could this be going on in a democracy that's supposed to be an open country? How could this be the right course of action if we haven't even debated it amongst the people themselves? We're not all dummies.
Yeah, it's very, very troubling the way this was carried out, because we asked them, the Polish and the Poles and the Czechs to make tremendous political sacrifices in angering Russia by agreeing to do this in the first place, and then they pulled the rug out from under them all of a sudden with like a midnight phone call, saying, "By the way, we're going to put a knife in your back."
Well, what are we going to do if Russia decides to reincorporate Poland and Czechoslovakia into a new emerging Soviet Union? In other words, they send in tanks the way they did in '57 into Prague. What are we going to do? Say, "Whoops." And Obama will sit here and start selling health care again? Is that what we're going to say? Oh, well, it's only a nation? Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So you met someone who set you back on your heels. Goody, goody. So you met someone, and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody.
It is the one and only Savage Nation. Pretty good program today, I would say. Began with my sermon. Then we had Andrew Breitbart. Then we had Senator Inhofe. I would say it was a great show, frankly, one of my best in a long time. I'm feeling a new energy. I hope it's going to be very good for all of us coming months. We've got the enemy on the run, but don't underestimate them at all. They're very dangerous, and they've never been more devious than they are now. And if we go back to October of 08, I have a soundbite now of Bonnie Frank, Nancy Pelosi, and Rahm Emanuel gloating as they were about to give out stimulus money. They just won $1 trillion for their slush fund. Listen to clip 07.
And I really feel a great sense of responsibility for Rahm and for me and for many others. These are the days of awe. The days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for Jewish people, they are the days of awe.
A-W-E. What he meant was the days of awe, D-A-Z-E-O-R-E, because it's been a lot of awe for all of them for a year now. Real days of awe, in my opinion. And they were gloating. I mean, they were riding high. And they still are. I mean, they're still in power. Don't underestimate where they're at. Look at the power they have. And I got to speak to for a minute. I have only a minute left. You know, I'm a realist. Put aside all my politics, I'm a realist. The stimulus money. It sounds on the surface that it's a repeat of FDR's, you know, public works programs, which were in some ways very good for the poor. So I'm not going to just buy the right-wing line that it was all, you know, bad for the country. I don't believe it at all because my father was very poor and he benefited from a job he never would have had otherwise back in the 30s. So I understand there's a different way to look at everything depending upon your economic status. But here's the difference. The Work Progress Administration, during that, they built the Golden Gate Bridge. They built the San Francisco bridges and tunnels all over America. What in the world has Pelosi and company done with this $1 trillion? Has the money trickled down? Where are the 3 million jobs? The difference between Roosevelt and Obama is that the money has been siphoned off at the top, in my opinion, and the jobs have not been created and the money has not trickled down. The money has been siphoned off at the top. So don't compare him to Roosevelt.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the big shock around the world is Obama stabbing Poland and Czechoslovakia in the back. It's unbelievable. Now, as yesterday I said, that's on the surface. It looks like he did that. He may have done it anyway. I also said maybe it was a trade-off to permit Israel to take on Iran. But even if that is the case, it means that Obama has acceded to the demands of Russia. So either way, Russia has won, not the United States. Okay? So here is a man who was clearly very much in line with Neville Chamberlain and the others in 1939 who appeased Hitler. It's frightening. Dismay in Eastern Europe as USA ditches missile defense. The communist Putin praising Obama's bravery. Do you hear this? Praising his bravery. The polls say we've been sold to the Russians in the headlines. But wait, it gets worse. Obama said during his speech to try to sell health care that illegals will not get any health care with the health care reform. Well, he lied. Now he gave a speech to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce yesterday where he said we should legalize illegals to give them health care. The man is a liar. He is duplicitous, and he's a danger to this nation. We all know that. So here we are. Then we had Nancy Pelosi with her vile, hysterical statement that there's going to be violence in the country from the people who oppose Obama's insane spending. Now, Pelosi has long been a laughingstock. You would think that that statement about violence would make her irrelevant in the national debate about Democrats' out-of-control tax policies. The fact of the matter is the Tea Party protesters have been extremely peaceful, especially when you compare them to Pelosi's radical friends on the left. Who are the Tea Party protesters, and are they violent? Well, they're generally middle-aged and middle-class. They're not the type of people who started tire fires. They're not the type of people who threw garbage cans through plate glass windows. They're not the type of people who attack policemen and police horses. Who am I talking about? Those are the actual tactics of Pelosi's left-wing gangster buddies, those who have showed up at G20 summits and caused mayhem. Those are the tactics of ELF who commit arson to make their warped political statements. Those are the tactics of the left-wing SEIU, Service Employees International Union, who sent their union thugs out to beat up law-abiding people who simply exercise their rights under our First Amendment. Those violent acts are the tactics of ACORN, who routinely suborn perjury and have conspired to defraud the American people. The people that we are talking about who have actually committed violence are those, and let's include the jackbooted new Black Panther thugs who stood in front of a Philadelphia polling place in November of 2008 and threatened white voters with batons. They were not prosecuted by Pelosi's friends. So here we have the Speaker of the House who has done nothing but further divide an already divided nation. Her hysterical statements about violence and her crying do nothing but obscure the very real debate about our country's future, our country's failing economy, and our country's steadily declining international influence, including stabbing Poland and Czechoslovakia in the back. This woman will go down in history as perhaps the worst Speaker of the House and the worst Speaker this nation has ever had to endure.
There's an interesting follow-up to the missile shield story that was noted by the Washington Examiner. Apparently, shortly after the pullback on the missile shield program was announced, Russia's government said Prime Minister Vladimir Putin would meet several U.S. executives on Friday from firms including General Electric.
You mean NBC and MSNBC, the two communist nation, the two communist networks?
That's correct, yes.
That's right. Sieg Heil. Isn't this much like Henry Ford building trucks for Hitler? Remember we used to hear that Henry Ford was a Nazi sympathizer because he built trucks for Hitler? What would he say about NBC and MSNBC? Shall we say that it's sympathetic to a right-wing, left-wing, who? A dictatorship in Russia? They're sympathetic to Ahmadinejad, who vows Israel will not last long. They call him the president of Iran. So these left-wingers are the actual fascists of today.
And also, a man accused of beheading his wife at the Muslim American television station they founded is likely to claim emotional distress was behind the killing in hopes of avoiding a murder conviction.
How could it be emotional distress cutting a head off?
I guess he was under too much pressure, apparently.
He was under pressure. What pressure? I mean, living in a racist nation? Well, on michaelsavage.com, I have a real treat for my regular listeners across America. And that is tonight, in fact, as I speak, it is sundown on the East Coast, probably, close to it. It's the beginning of the cycle of the 10 days of war for the Jewish people, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. A change of the years, going back thousands of years. In fact, we're leaving the year 5770 and moving into 5771. That's 5,771 years of a Jewish calendar, a calendar that Ahmadinejad, a good friend of the left, says will soon be disappeared from the planet. But in spite of the fact that we have a new Hitler on the planet, and in spite of the fact that the leftist appeasing government of Obama does nothing about him, I wrote a Jewish New Year sermon that I'd like to read now on the Savage Nation. I wrote this in 1996, and I just found it. It's my New Year sermon for the Jewish listeners and for the Christians who are interested in the connections to Judaism. And here it is. Thousands of years ago, a little-known Middle Eastern man in a desert tried to lead his people from idolatry and hatred. Today, the descendants of these original tribes of Israel are known as Jews. What we ask as a Jew, is it a religion, a race, a mindset? It is to me a constant relationship with God, the eternal creator, a constant dialogue within ourselves, asking, pleading, demanding to know why the good will sometimes suffer horrendous fates or why the evil appear to enjoy the riches of their plunder. It is this ability to ask without hearing an answer, but to keep asking eternal questions without losing faith in goodness. It is this desire to want to hear the very voice of God without hearing it. It is coming to know that the questions themselves are God's way, which makes the Jewish spirit an eternal manifestation of that transcendental experience in the desert thousands of years ago, which gives each Jewish person a special destiny and a special burden. A special burden. Now, to waste this spark of the fire of original knowledge is to throw away not only your own destiny and inheritance, but a portion of the destiny and inheritance of the people chosen by God to be his bearers of the light. Being human and not God, we all sin by missing the mark. And that is my message to my friends gathered today on the Savage Nation for this Rosh Hashanah ahead of the year. In Hebrew, the word sin does not exist. It translates closely to miss the mark. For God is forgiving, or not one of us listening today would survive even a day. The message is to try to hit the mark again and again. That is the zen of maintaining the Jewish inheritance. Seek truth and to seek justice. Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, marks the beginning of 10 days of war, a period during which the Jewish people are judged by God, who decides whether They, each of them, will be inscribed in the Book of Life for the coming year. It is an intense time for Jewish people, a time of trial and forgiveness. It concludes with Yom Kippur, a day of repentance. So I'd like every listener in the Savage Tent to remember the following. Be happy. God made you. God loves you. Shalom. Michael Savage.
Savage.
Niles Gardner, who is with the Heritage Foundation, is here now on the Savage Nation to speak with us about Obama canceling the missile defense shield in Eastern and Central Europe. He wrote an amazing article on the subject for the UK Telegraph.
The Obama administration is to abandon its plans for third site missile defense installations in Poland and the Czech Republic.
Well, what are your thoughts on this, and how will it affect our standing on the world stage?
This would represent a huge turnaround in American strategic thinking on a global missile defense system and a massive betrayal of two key U.S. allies, Eastern and Central Europe. Such a move would significantly weaken America's ability to combat the growing threat posed by Iran's ballistic missile program and would hand a major propaganda victory to the Russians. This shift in U.S. policy is intricately linked to a naive deal struck between Barack Obama and Russian President Dmitry Medvedev in July in Moscow, where the two leaders established a framework to reduce their nukes by a third over the next 7 years. The deal, expected to be concluded in December, also significantly cuts both sides' nuclear delivery systems, such as long-range bombers, to create a more level playing field. The U.S. currently has superiority in this area. The whole agreement works to the advantage of the Russians, with their declining strategic conventional weapons capability and aging and deteriorating nuclear weapons stockpile. Obama has made progress towards a nuclear-free world, a centerpiece of his presidency, and is clearly willing to sacrifice U.S. interests, including its allies in Europe, on the altar of political vanity. Moscow has made it abundantly clear that any steps towards nuclear disarmament have to involve the abandonment of missile defense installations in what Russia considers its own backyard, and that includes former Soviet satellites that are now members of the European Union. If the Obama administration drops the plans and appalling surrender to Russian demands and the shameful appeasement of ex-members of the Warsaw Pact.
What sort of message does this send to our allies in Europe?
It would send a clear message to America's allies in Europe that Moscow's bullying will be tolerated and even tacitly encouraged. It also sends a dangerous signal that the United States is unlikely to stand up to Russian demands that Georgia and Ukraine be barred from becoming full members of the NATO alliance. In the coming days, it is vital that those in Congress who believe that the transatlantic alliance still matters and that U.S. agreements with its allies are worth the paper they are written on, speak out against any attempt to abandon plans for missile defense in Europe. The Poles and the Czechs know what it means to live under the boot of Russian domination. The third site issue is of huge symbolic importance, and if Moscow emerges the victor with an effective veto over U.S. policy in Europe, it would represent a massive surrender of American strategic influence and a betrayal of two of its closest friends in the region. Over to you, Mike.
All right. Thanks for that report, Niles. Okay, moving on. I know for sure that there was a comparison done between the deceased soldiers, the autopsies, for example, of soldiers who had died in the Korean War, and then of soldiers who they autopsied during the Vietnam War, and there was a degeneration of the arterial system, the cardiovascular system, that was dramatic as a result of dietary alterations in the American diet, rather. In other words, if you went back and you did an autopsy of guys who died in World War II, you would have found a much different picture internally that is in their arteries than you would have found, let's say, by 1952. And then you speed it up to 1969, it's a whole different story, because the junk food diet had already become prevalent in America by the time these boys God bless their souls. The guys who died in Vietnam who had, you know, they already grew up. You're talking about guys who were born in 1950, et cetera, maybe 1950. So by then they were like, they're already eating junk food in the 50s. Back in the 40s, there was very little junk food. The diet was totally different back in the 1940s. And, of course, you go back and back and back. It's the same thing. You find more whole foods, less fat, less sugar in the diet. Right now, we have a sugar epidemic in America. And you say, well, what does that have to do with arterial damage? Well, you read the work of the recently deceased great doctor. He just died. And he was one of my heroes. But I don't think I want to put his name out and have a rush on it. You know, the guys let him live. But he wrote about the sugar disease a long time ago. He said a good many of the degenerative diseases of our time are based on too high a quantity of refined sugars in the diet. He wasn't even laying the blame on the doorstep of the fats, by the way, which is a whole other controversial area. We are fat-obsessed in the United States of America to the detriment of the health of many women and children. You see families today raising children on pure vegetarian or vegan diets, and the children are suffering. They're tired. They can't focus. They're not bright. They're getting vitamin deficiency diseases, and the mothers will not give them a hamburger. Oh, no, my child's never eaten red meat. Great. Great, but take a look at your child's health. My child's never had a piece of chicken. Well, I had this experiment when my children were little, and I told you about it. There were many people back in the day who were raising their children vegetarian. I wasn't, because I knew children needed a diet rich in protein, a certain amount of fat, etc. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I was totally into health at that time. You know, ground up apricots, vegetables. So don't think I was just feeding junk food. But mixed in with every meal was a high degree of good quality protein. You know, if I made hamburgers, I ground onions into them. So the long and short of it is, if friends' kids would come over to dinner, and my kids were eating chicken, and the parent with the vegetarian child would turn her head, that kid would grab the chicken off my kid's plate. The child was starving. Now go to the women today, the young women. The skinny young women with perfect figures, so-called. The ones who look like post-op transvestites, which is the new model, let's say, for the American woman. It used to be a full-hip woman. A woman with a certain voluptuousness was considered the social norm. Today, because of various influences, which I don't have to spell out, a woman tries to look like a man who's had a surgery. These women are near insane, many of them, from a lack of nutrients such as iron. They're suffering iron deficiency. They're suffering deficiency of the B vitamins. They're suffering folic acid deficiencies because they have known nothing about food and diet. Nothing. They're not being taught anything about it. Many of them have anxiety attacks. They put them on pills. And the reason they'll take the pills is because it doesn't add any weight. It's not what they need. They need to go on a balanced diet, which means real food. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Well, Obama is now talking about how illegal aliens will be affected by his plan for socialized medicine. Listen to this.
As you know, there's been a little controversy about who exactly will be covered under reform. And I want to be clear. If someone's here illegally, they won't be covered under this plan. That's a commitment I've made. But I also want to make this clear. Even though I do not believe we can extend coverage to those who are here illegally, I also don't simply believe we can ignore the fact that our immigration system is broken. That's why I strongly support making sure folks who are here legally have access to affordable, quality health insurance under this plan, just like everybody else. And we certainly should not let this debate on health care, one that's so essential to Hispanic Americans and all Americans, get sidetracked by those looking to exploit divisions and kill reform at any cost. That's what they always try to do. If anything, this debate underscores the necessity of passing comprehensive immigration reform and resolving the issue of 12 million undocumented people living and working in this country once and for all. That's what I've said from the start. That's what I say tonight.
In other words, he wants to legalize the illegal aliens that are here so that he can give them free health care and they won't be illegal aliens anymore. I guess he wasn't lying when he said he didn't want to give health care to illegal aliens. He meant to legalize them first. I guess Joe Wilson was also right. when he called him a liar. And don't forget Obama's weakness on the missile shield, which he tried to spin as a positive thing.
Our new missile defense architecture in Europe will provide stronger, smarter, and swifter defenses of American forces and America's allies. It is more comprehensive than the previous program. It deploys capabilities that are proven and cost-effective, and it sustains and builds upon our commitment to protect the U.S. homeland against long-range ballistic missile threats. And it ensures and enhances the protection of all our NATO allies.
What a distortion of the truth. This empowers the Hitler of Iran, who went on Obama's favorite network, NBC. Nothing but crap.
You are expressing certain claims that, by and large, are being leveled by those who oppose the Islamic Republic. I'm not in a position to answer or to judge whatever you are claiming. But does your heart really and sincerely go out to the people? Is that really the truth?
Keep going.
The family of the U.S. citizens which are in prison here in Iran, I sympathize with them. They need to know that these individuals have violated the law. However, I'm going to do my best for the Iranians who are in U.S. prisons to be set free and for these individuals, U.S. citizens here, to be set free as well.
He is pure evil. Even the madman Kim Jong-il released U.S. prisoners, but not this maniac from Iran. Wisconsin, Ray, on a totally different topic, thank God. What's on your mind, Ray?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Privilege to talk to you. Last week or the week before, you talked about the benefits of vitamin E, and I could have sworn it was like 15,000 IUs of vitamin E. I didn't quite...
No. It was... Okay, I'm sorry. We were talking about vitamin A at the time. I wasn't feeling well, and I always revert to vitamin A therapy. When I really start to feel something heavy coming down and vitamin C won't touch it, I usually go to very powerful vitamin A dosages. And usually within a day, I will snap back from anything. And with the vitamin A, the tolerance for it is much higher than you may think, number one. However, you have to be cautious because vitamin A is fat soluble. As such, it is stored in your adipose tissue. It's not easily excreted, unlike vitamin C, which is water soluble, which you will eliminate. Excesses will be eliminated. Excesses of vitamin A can be toxic. So the issue is how much is therapeutic and how much is toxic. So that issue becomes one of thought and consideration. And that depends upon your age, your weight, and your state of health. My suspicion is that you can easily take 50 to 100,000 IUs of vitamin A when you're very sick for a few days and you won't have any negative negative results from it. However, when you're healthy, you want to keep it to a much lower dosage. I think, what's the RDA on vitamin A? It's much too low anyway, but it's in the few thousand units a day. So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, and thank you, sir.
And the vitamin A form that you use is very important. I use drops put out. You can only get them in the really real health food stores, not the chains. The authentic health food stores that carry the tinctures and such is the place you're going to find real vitamin A in the right method of administering it. Otherwise, it's going to be very hard to get any delivery system that's really going to work. There are cases, you should know, of Arctic explorers who hunted polar bears, shot the polar bear, ate the polar bear, and died after eating the polar bear liver. Because the polar bear liver is one of the richest natural sources of vitamin A. I am talking about in the millions of units. In other words, if you eat polar bear liver, you're getting millions of units of vitamin A, and you'll die from it, just to give you some idea of magnitude of differential here. But this is something that you're not going to hear about from your ordinary health practitioner. They're not aware of the benefits of any of these vitamins. In fact, they've been miseducated by the American Medical Association to tell you that only burning, cutting, and poisoning will help you. I've spent 30 years of my life researching, writing about self-help, with vitamins, nutrition, and such. So give me another minute on this. I want to reiterate something so that you don't get the mistaken notion that you know exactly how much to use. Vitamin A can be very toxic above a certain amount, and I would recommend you never use more than 50,000 units per day, except in extraordinary circumstances. So again, the optimal dose would be determined by the response that you get from it. Start with 10,000 units a day when you're sick and increase it slowly. And then once you get the optimum response, the dose may be decreased to the appropriate maintenance dose, which would have to be the RDA, which is pretty low. Remember, one IU of vitamin A or any other IU is equal to 0.3 micrograms. It's very hard for you to figure out what that means. But should you suspect vitamin A deficiency? Well, do you have problems with the surfaces of your body? Skin, hair, nails, night blindness, mucosa? Or do you have repeated colds that are not responsive to ascorbic acid? These conditions might indicate you looking into vitamin A. Now, many people will use beta-carotene instead, which is a vitamin A precursor. And I have nothing against using beta-carotene. I've just found it has no effect on me whatsoever. I have found that only vitamin A has a medical reaction in me. So, and again, one last point on this vitamin A business. Arctic explorers, remember I told you some of them died from eating polar bear liver? Well, Arctic explorers learned that polar bear liver was dangerous going back to the 16th century when some explorers first lost their skin after eating polar bear liver. 1 pound of polar bear liver would contain over 30 million units of vitamin A. And again, a last point, many of you could be deficient in vitamin A today. Why? It's found mainly in animal and fish livers. You don't eat that anymore because you're on a low cholesterol diet. You probably don't drink milk, you don't use butter, you don't use eggs. Again, the obsession with cholesterol reduction and fat reduction. So most of the vitamin A that Americans used to get is out of their diet. Now, yellow, orange, and green plants contain carotene, which is converted to vitamin A in the body. But the chances are you're not getting enough of that anyway. So as I say to you, there are subclinical deficiencies and overt classical deficiencies in vitamins all along the spectrum in this country, which accounts for the increased number of various diseases that were once eliminated in this country. Okay, I think I've covered the waterfront for now on that subject, just because I'm sick and tired of talking about medical care without talking about what you can do about it. I mean, you want to talk about self-care? That's a great topic. For years I wrote about that. I was obsessed with it. Why? Because my dad died young of a heart attack, so did grandpa. So I was obsessed in college. I started wondering, what in the heck? I'll never forget when my father came home from the hospital, the doctor put him on a low-salt diet. Well, I used to look at it. He was not allowed to use sodium chloride, God rest his soul. They gave him KCL, potassium chloride. So I was a young biology student. I said, why would they put him on potassium, not sodium? Well, then I learned because sodium increases blood pressure, and they want people to have lower blood pressure. They put him on potassium chloride. So I started to think, if the doctors would tell my poor father after a heart attack to reduce his salt intake, why didn't they tell him before? Why did they tell a poor man to cut down on salt before he got sick? Why didn't they tell him to cut down on the fats before he got sick? Either they didn't know or they didn't want him to know because there was no money in it. So I started to think, if potassium is better than sodium, what else might be involved in the development of heart disease? And that was the beginning of my long road of investigations and reading everything I get my hands on, working with the smartest men in the world in the orthomolecular medical movement, the smartest doctors in the world. That doesn't mean there aren't great doctors other than them, but at that time, these were the smartest, most advanced minds in the world. Linus Pauling, Abe Hoffer, Bob Cathcart, Richard Cunyan, the smartest men in the world in vitamin therapy. And they were all reviled by the American Medical Association. Every one of them were giants, and the Lilliputians in the regular medical world sneered at them. The same way I am sneered at in the political world, they were sneered at in the medical world. So I'm used to this. Trust me. I have seen this behavior in virtually every sphere of learning. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I want to tell you that I grew up in a family that struggled somewhat. My father was a small businessman, started with a pushcart on the streets of New York. I'm not ashamed to tell you that, an immigrant with nothing. And I don't know what he did, but he wound up with his own little store selling antiquities, and he made a reasonably good living. We had a small brick-attached house, one car. Mom didn't work. He was a sole breadwinner. And when he got his heart attack, his first one at age 47, there was no money coming in. He had was in the hospital, the oxygen tent. There was no health care, no health insurance. There was just no money coming in. I had to help. In fact, I left college for one semester to go to work to help. Now, I want to ask you something. Trust me when I tell you, as I listen to this whole health care debate, I listen with two minds. One is my current state of mind. And the other is the mind of my deceased father, who I would assume would represent tens of millions of Americans today who are poor or poorer, who are worried about losing everything they have if they should get sick or if someone in their family should get sick. And I say, well, what would they be thinking about Obama's speech? And by and large, they would hang on every word and think he's doing the right thing and what he's saying, because he is holding out false promises to them, as do all politicians, and so do all demagogues. False promises are hung like carrots in front of a horse's nose to get them to agree with the whip over their hindquarters. So what I'm saying to you is I recognize that the speech was not given for a person in my position. It was given for the tens of millions of poor people in this country who want the government to bail them out, who want the government to take it from those who have and support those who do not have, who want to take it from the so-called rich without understanding that without the rich, there would be nothing in this country. Without the taxes that the upper 1% pay, the entire economy would collapse. The upper 1% earners pay 50% of all income taxes in the country. I want you to remember that. And there's only so much you can get out of people until they throw in the towel and say, you know what? I'm not investing in a new business. I'm not expanding the plant. I'm not taking any more chances because it isn't worth it. Let them all go to hell. And what happens then is you wind up with a declining economy, a declining income base, a declining tax base. All you got to do is look at California and see what happens with miserable, horrendous leadership. And you understand that Obama is leading us to the level of one salami hanging in a butcher shop, along the lines of what you may have seen in pictures of the ex-Soviet Union before the wall came down, or in Poland before Glasnost, when there was a line around the block to buy one salami. And the reason that happened is because the butcher wouldn't invest in buying the cow, because he knew the government would take most of the profit that he made for themselves. So why should the butcher borrow money or sell his silver to buy a cow to cut up the meat if the government's going to steal it in the form of taxes or penalties? This is what happens with socialism. This is why Obama is a very dangerous liar, in my opinion. And this is why talk radio is the greatest threat to the status quo in this nation. They don't want truth whatsoever. They want to continue to hold out the lies that they're going to save you with government spending. Now, I might be all for it if it was truly generated by savings, but I know that's a lie, because the very corrupt individuals who are feasting off the medical system now are going to continue to feast off the medical system tomorrow. The number one would be the lawyers. The others would be the healthcare providers themselves. And I don't mean the hospitals. I mean all of the middlemen along the way. The fraud is overwhelming. It's in the hundreds of billions of dollars. Did Obama once say he's going to create a whole department to look into actual fraud, fraudulent claims, fakers who are faking illness, fakers who are making up illness, fake doctors, fake chiropractors, working with lawyers to rob hundreds of billions of dollars out of the system? Did he mention that once? Did he talk about all of the fakers in the medical system? Did he mention the fake cases that lawyers are ginning up across the country? No. So again, as I said to you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm giving you kind of an interesting, I think, presentation from one man, which is I'm speaking to you as I am, Michael Savage, today, reasonably well off because I worked for every dime I have for well over more than a half a century. No one gave me a dime. I inherited nothing. I've been knocked down on my behind many times, and I've gotten up every time, dusted myself off, and moved forward, sometimes taking 20 years to get back on my feet. So here I am on my feet, and I see a government that says, you're the target. You're the target because you have something. We want to take it from you, and we want to give it to people who don't have it. Well, I warn those of you who don't have it what happens with this psychology. I have an old friend I haven't seen in many years. I knew him very well. Gee, God, it's a long time ago. When I was a young graduate student, he was a professor, and he's an expert in, let's just say, tropical diseases. We'll leave it generic. So to make a long story short, I recontacted my old friend, and we talked. Politically, we're on the opposite sides of the spectrum. But here's the point of the story. I want to read you the I sent him my book, and he sent me his, and I just got it today by overnight mail. I won't read you the title of his book, but I want to read you the inscription. It says, to Michael, separated by geography and maybe some political philosophy, but as always, my cherished friend. I think it was one of the most beautiful inscriptions I've ever read in my life. And all of the friendship that I enjoyed with this man and his wife of many years ago came flooding back into my memories. The pictures of the children when they were young and the fun we had. I could still hear the man laughing. Would you believe it? And it just shows you that although you can disagree with someone politically, you don't have to hate them. That's the interesting story. In fact, when I jokingly said to him on the phone, we talked, and he knows I'm this flaming right-winger, you know, and he said something to the effect, he said, well, I'm still a liberal. I said, well, I know, you're in the cloister, the ivory tower. He says, yes, that's probably the reason. He says, I refuse to grow up. But he said it in such a way that I was relieved and laughed. He said it in a way that disarmed me. I didn't have to hate him. And nor did he have to hate me and call me Hitler for being a right-winger. You understand what I'm saying to you or not? You get it? Reasonable people can violently disagree politically, but they don't kill each other. Maybe I'll have him on the show. I don't want to, you know, give up to you. You know, I haven't seen him in years. So many good memories, you know, all from one inscription. How is a man write such a... To Michael, separated by Teddy, stop it. My dog is acting up again. To Michael, separated by geography and maybe, comma, some political philosophy, comma, but as always, my cherished friend. And that was beautiful. I hope he's listening to the show. I don't even know if he listens there and crack him. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.